Let's get started. Shouts out the card. Look at this. These brave students will be remembered on the right side of history. It's true. Police unmask low-life UCLA president for the world to see. These guys are so funny. Like, they're just watching Fox News, angry as hell, excited to the prospect of an 18-year-old being, like, doxxed. I thought y'all love free speech. What the going on, man? Turns out not so much. Turns out free speech only only pertains to people I agree with, actually, and maybe like people that are on my side of the political spectrum, as far right as possible. Maybe they're saying stuff that I think is unconscionable, but at least they're on the right side, you know. She's pretty cool. She replied, wait, what? She got straight A's, moisturized, thriving, fundamentally unbothered, success in life guaranteed. I would know. Notice how they move the needle now, because everyone is actually a fucking student. Everyone arrested is like actually a student or a faculty or teachers. So now they're turning around and being like, well, they're all terrorists. Students are actually terrorists and we have to kill them.
There were new crackdowns on those campus protests against the war in Gaza.
None of these media narratives work. And I have tried my very best
in Oregon
to desperately push back against the steady flow of misinformation. But of course, like, you know, we don't have the same power to influence masses in the same way that like mainstream media can. So I'm trying my fucking best out here, and I'm sure you guys are as well, but ultimately it doesn't really matter, because as long as the media will consistently say all of the wrong things and report on it with false framing and lie, and then never actually be held accountable for lying about things, it won't matter. All right, let's continue.
Police cleared an occupied library at Portland State University. New video shows damage inside the...
Like, I don't care about the vandalism on the walls and stuff too, by the way. Like, I just want everybody to understand. Probably the reason why not a lot of people have come in here to yell at me about like how I'm defending unconscionable things such as vandalism or whatever is because like the students have been following the rule of law almost to a T. But regardless, like these non-violent rules being broken in non-violent ways, I don't care about at all.
Building, including graffiti. Earlier, President Biden had some sharp criticism of the demonstrations just hours after officers cleared a protest camp at UCLA. Jonathan Bigliotti is there for us today. Jonathan, good morning.
And good morning to you, Vlad. It's hard to believe that just 24 hours ago, you had this chaotic standoff.
Seems like a losing battle. It's not. Because you want to know why it's not a losing battle? And I've said this already. One, just because something seems like a losing battle, if you know you're on the right side of history, should not cause you to falter, should not cause you to stop, should not cause you to go, eh, seems like we're losing, so who gives a shit? You're talking to a 10-year loser. Since the beginning of my professional career as a political commentator, I've been on the losing side of every single fucking conversation, nonstop. That's what being a leftist is about in many instances, is about being on the right side of history, but taking L's for being on the right side of history just too early. It doesn't matter. You shouldn't stop. You mustn't stop. You must continue because your cause is just. There's always going to be naysayers throughout this entire process. And yet, as far as like this iteration goes, this round of conversations goes, for years and years, I've talked about Palestinian emancipation, and I have never seen this level of support in the Western world in any demographic. Many people could have given up. Many people who have been talking about this stuff for years and years could have given up, and they should have. But slowly but surely, we are now at a tipping point, basically, where there is mass mobilization occurring in the Western world against Israel's actions. So ultimately, it doesn't matter. You're not doing it for immediate gratification. You're doing this for the next generation. You're doing this because it's the right thing to do. You're doing this because there's power in solidarity. There's strength in numbers. You're not doing it so that people give you brownie points, that people go, oh, you're a cool guy. Oh, you're on the right side of history. That's not the reason why you do it. You do it because it is right. I love these arguments. It's only the beginning. The Vietnam protest started in 1963. The war ended 10 years later. Yeah, it takes a long time. The only reason why you feel like there is not much momentum for hope here is because you might be a little new to this process, no disrespect, and you might be a little new to like being a progressive person in a country like the United States of America. You just have to remember that your cause is just. If you truly believe in emancipation for all peoples, then you're doing the right thing. And before you know it, you arrive over the course of 10 years, you arrive at a situation unlike anything you've ever experienced before. I'm telling you, the reason why I always feel hopeful, despite right, seeing so much violence every day, especially as it pertains to Palestine and Palestinian emancipation, is because I've never felt more like there are people out here on this side than this very moment. And tomorrow there will be even more people. And the day after, the movement will continue to grow.
Unfolding behind me this morning, the chancellor now facing calls to step down after making the decision to call in law enforcement. Across the country, campuses are struggling to support free speech while protecting students and staff.
Yeah, no, they're not. They are actually hurting students and staff in an effort to also suppress their free speech. That is precisely what's going on.
Protesters with makeshift armor ran from the Portland State University Library into dozens of police surrounding.
There has never been a single moment throughout American history, throughout history at all, where the things that we take for granted, such as the weekend, for example, which we celebrate every Friday, that's why the vibes are immaculate on Fridays, there's never been a single instance where rights and civil liberties were just simply given to everyone because those who control all of the power decided that they were going to be gracious, that they were going to be magnanimous. It has never happened that way. Oftentimes in infinitely more violent ways, by the way. Infinitely more violent ways than the situation that you're seeing in front of your eyes currently.
Surrounding the area as officers cleared out a days-long occupation Thursday. Outside, tense clashes as authorities threw protesters to the ground and arrested several. At one point,
how do you fight the feeling of hopelessness? Simply through belief in the cause. All I'm saying is, if you're a socialist, if you're a leftist, if you're a progressive for a long enough time, you will start recognizing that despite the immediate L's that you're taking all the fucking time and things seeming very hopeless, that there is always momentum building up, that truth finds a way, that justice finds a way, and that inevitably, if you push and push and push, no matter what, you will inevitably see victory. You have to maintain revolutionary optimism. It's just something you have to do. I always try to explain to people that, like, being a leftist is not about being cool. It's not about being liked, even by entire groups of people that you're advocating for, right? Like, people will sometimes come in here and be like, well, I advocate for trans people, but they yell at me all the fucking time. And it's like, yeah, okay, so what? Are you advocating for trans people because you want trans people to like you and think you're cool? Or are you advocating for trans people because you think it's up what the government is doing to trans people, like legislating them out of existence? That's why, unlike many of my contemporary peers, my position on this stuff has not really changed in the reactionary way. Many people turn around and go, oh, people are yelling at me, so I'm throwing out everything that I supposedly believed. I don't have a moral compass that swings wildly like that, and you shouldn't either. You mustn't, you know what I mean? Same with, like, black twitter is eating your ass. Dude, they're calling you a white supremacist. The barbs are calling you a white supremacist. Okay, I guess it's fine now. I guess I no longer am in favor of, you know, genuinely restructuring the white supremacist criminal justice system. Like, that's ridiculous. Are you so malleable that a couple people yelling at you changed your entire worldview? It blows my fucking mind. And the same thing goes for even fucking Nazis. Like, I advocate for healthcare for all, including fucking Nazis. My goal is to fix the economic volatility that creates radicalization of that sort, that makes a perfect breeding ground for reactionary sentiment. My job and my goal, my overall goal, is to create an environment where it's virtually impossible to become a Nazi. Let's continue.
A car drove into a group who pelted it with objects before the driver sprayed something out the window and ran away. Cleanup is underway on UCLA's campus after chaos erupted early Thursday when officers in riot gear tore down the protester encampment.
They were shooting flash grenades over the heads of these students.
Associate Professor Graham Blair was among the 210 people arrested.
They violently threw protesters from inside the encampment to outside the encampment, and I saw bodies flying through the air. There's no other way to describe it.
In New York, newly released police body camera footage shows officers at Columbia University cutting their way through barricades after the school called in the NYPD to clear protesters from the campus. The NYPD tells CBS News that during that sweep, an officer accidentally fired their gun inside the hall Tuesday, but no one was injured.
when nonviolent protest is met with violent repression, it really does move public opinion and even voting behavior.
Except for the fact that mainstream media, except for this coverage, is doing its darndest to make this seem like the protest was violent in and of itself and needed violent retaliation from the state.
Omar Wasu has studied the impact of protests for about 20 years.
If the police use heavy-handed tactics, it sort of ignites a larger movement. At the same time, when protesters are perceived to use extreme tactics, that can lead to both disapproval and legitimize the more forceful response by the police.
And several universities say it's bad actors that are sparking the violence. In New York City, Mayor Adams confirming 30% of the
NYPD Intel Department maintains an office in Tel Aviv. Yes. Would you be shocked to find out that the IDF has also trained most local police departments post 9/11 on counterterrorism? Yeah.
Those arrested at Columbia University had no affiliation to the school. Back here at UCLA, we do not know the identities of all of the 210 people that were arrested, but Jerika, many of them were students and in some cases, faculty members.
All right, Jonathan Bigliotti, thank you.
New poll on the protests from Morning Consult. 76% of support police for protecting campuses from violence, 47% for banning pro-Palestine protests, 41% for banning pro-Israel protests, 38% plurality for divestment, bonus 56% of Republicans back sensitivity training on campus. That's wonderful. American politics is so fucking stupid, dude. Always and forever. All this is about actions colleges and universities should take themselves and not the government, to be clear. I think people might just universally hate protesting, which like raised some questions and concerns. Don't think this is the case, thankfully. In the first weeks of the Floyd protest, for instance, polls showed broad support. One in WAPO said 53% who thought they were mostly violent still backed them. Content and per Omar Wasau media coverage matter. A general point, it's true that many individual voters have incoherent beliefs, but it's also important to remember that pluralities and majorities are not all the same people. You might have no opinion on one thing and on another, for instance, aggregation is complex, etc. Very funny that the median voter on this issue is basically a Palestinian American police officer in Chicago. I think that it's not because the average American is stupid. I mean, the average American is very stupid, myself included. I am the average American. However, I also can't really fault them for it because, I mean, think about it this way. I spent every waking fucking moment trying to do my very best from a goddamn Twitch stream to combat mainstream media misinformation and false framing of things that are genuinely the exact opposite, right? But I'm one person. And there's other content creators as well that are also trying to do their very best. You guys in the chat are trying to do your very best to like combat the misinformation and talk to people in your immediate vicinity. But ultimately, the reason why a lot of these people develop opinions like this is because that's what the media is saying. Of course, the media has been spending every waking moment, nonstop, offering coverage to how fucking violent the pro-Palestinian peace encampments are. That's it. They use every moment they can to justify and demand violent retaliation. So of course, ultimately, people are going to have these like weird, inconsistent beliefs as a consequence of that. Fox News speaks to Benjamin Kirsten, a Jewish UCLA student who was part of the pro-Palestinian protest. John Roberts, a lot of people are asking why a Jewish student would be doing that. Can you explain?
Ben Kirsten is a student at UCLA.
That's crazy. What the fuck is going on? What? What time is this at? 12:25 CT? I mean, it's a part of the morning broadcast.
Jewish,
so it's.
But he sides with the pro-Palestinian protesters. Ben, thank you for being with us. You were in the protest camp. And a lot of people might wonder why you're with the protesters.
I mean, the reality is a lot of people in the Fox News audience might wonder that, but if people have a sense of what is going on, they wouldn't be wondering at all. It's just like, it's not remotely surprising to me. I don't think that Jews are monolithic in their opinion on Israel, but you know, I am anti-Semite of the fucking week after all, a couple weeks prior. So it's a very normal reaction to be like, hey, that foreign country that is currently claiming that they're doing this for me and my people and my religion is actually doing unconscionable things, and I think that that's fucked up, is a pretty sane and pretty valid response.
Repeating that question one more time.
Sorry, yeah, it sounded like it was a little bit noisy. I said, you were in the protest camp. You were siding with the protesters, and a lot of people were wondering why a Jewish student would be doing that. Can you explain?
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you for this question. Yeah. I'm delighted to be with you as a member of Jewish Voice for Peace at UCLA, which is an organization that is grounded in the values of justice, equality, and dignity for all. Mm-hmm. As an organization, religion. We believe that Zionism was a failed answer to very real questions of Jewish safety.
It's so awesome. It really is dope. I mean, it's added benefit that so many on the pro-Palestinian side are so disciplined in their messaging and look so fucking cool. I love that so much, especially because like optics do matter to those who are uninitiated. Optics do matter to those who are
on everything from safety to climate change.
Biden awards Presidential Medal of Freedom to Michael Bloomberg. What the gross. Here's a guy who definitely agrees with his methods of policing. The guy he's giving a Medal of Freedom to, by the way, the guy he's giving a Medal of Freedom to justified stop and frisk with the most racist possible ways to justify stop and frisk, which was a racist police practice anyway. That's crazy. Anyway, going back to this cool thing, what I was saying is like optics do matter to those who are uninitiated. Optics do matter to those who are on the outside looking in. That's why I always stress the importance of putting your best foot forward when talking about Palestine, when talking about Palestinian issues. If you want to be good, if you want to actually be productive, I try to do that as well to the best of my ability, and yet people still smear you no matter what. And I'm shocked that Fox News, even in their morning program, would have a Jewish Voice for Peace student. As I was trying to state, it's important to have good optics in this situation, and these guys certainly have it. They'll still be lied about or oftentimes vilified or rarely ever get any kind of opportunity to speak their truth in mainstream media. So it's interesting.
As an individual, I don't believe that this safety should have come at the expense of Palestinians who have faced over seven decades of ethnic cleansing. And of course, the most recent round of violence that's led to 35,000 Palestinians dead, 1.9 million displaced, imminent starvation. These are the scare. That's what brings me to this movement.
Gotcha. So you are in support of people who are saying that the violence against Palestinians in Gaza is wrong. Where do you come down on October 7th and the violence against Israelis that was perpetrated by Hamas?
Yeah, absolutely. My heart breaks for everyone that's been affected by this violence. That goes for Israelis and Palestinians. And at the same time, I believe that one war crime does not justify other war crimes. As a person in the United States, I see my government backing one party to this conflict and providing weapons and funding and political cover. And so I believe my role is to address my own complicity and the complicity of the government under which I am a citizen.
President Biden spoke about this a little while ago in terms of, he talked about violence, he talked about free speech, he also...
Is there more?
Police.
Oh.
Ben Kirsten is a student at UCLA. He's...
No, this is the same.
Bush. Own complicity and the complicity of the government.
He talked about violence, he talked about free speech, he also talked about the anti-Semitism that we see being fomented on some college campuses across the country. Listen to what the president said a short time ago.
Jesus, that dude won the genetic lottery? No, man. He's just a good person. And when you're a good person and you advocate for good causes, it clears up your skin. You become more physically attractive to everybody else. That's how it works. Not that like physical attraction matters in this circumstance, but that's why he has this aura to him, because he's a good person. That simple.
There should be no place on any campus, no place in America for anti-Semitism or threats of violence against Jewish students.
Now that's bull. No, man. It's not bullshit. Many of you are just insecure. That's all this is. You think you're unattractive, but you actually are, okay? You are. Everyone is attractive to somebody. Many of you think you're not, but you actually are, and you lack the confidence to recognize that, especially if you are, you know, on the right side of history. What do I always say? Yes, every man can be a seven. Everybody can be a seven, and seven is fucking awesome. You once said anyone could be a seven and it changed my life? Absolutely. Go to the gym, be a kind individual.
There is no place for hate speech or violence of any kind, whether it's anti-Semitism, Islamophobia, or discrimination against Arab Americans or Palestinian Americans.
So, Ben, you have been in there amongst the protesters. Have you witnessed any anti-Semitism? Have you witnessed support for Hamas?
You know, in my experience, I have not. And I would say that this is a place where President Biden and I agree. I think there is no place for anti-Semitism. And one of my values as part of this movement is a commitment to Jews and Jewish communities. I respect the feelings of others when they feel that this is something that when they feel that they've experienced anti-Semitism. Mm-hmm. And what I think that means is that we need to deal much more critically and rigorously with the problem of anti-Semitism, because it is a real problem. And yet we need to be able to distinguish between, say, a protest chant or something that makes us uncomfortable and maybe even conflicts with things that we've been from a very young age, and material violence, hatred. So while that's not my experience, I respect that. Their feelings that others have, and I would say that as part of this movement, I can attest that there are, I feel welcome not just as an organizer, but also as a Jewish person. We made Jewish programming a regular part of the encampment, and I think it was a really beautiful space for learning and community building.
So just really quickly before you go, and I hope that you can hear me. What do you say to?
Phenomenal.
And I think it was a really beautiful space for learning and community building.
So just really quickly before you go, and I hope that you can hear me. What do you say to the, and we've talked to plenty of them, Jewish students?
I think this is having this dude be the guy who talks to Fox News. I think part of that actually comes from the fact that they just can't get anyone to speak on camera from the pro-Palestinian encampment unless they are a media liaison, which is, again, demonstrating phenomenal messaging discipline, demonstrating incredible organizing right there. The fact that you can have so many college students there and you literally are like, no, this is the person that's going to speak is great. The fact that they're doing that voluntarily, the fact that they're able to organize in this regard, in this way, and people voluntarily say, yeah, no, I'm not going to be answering questions. Thank you very much. You can go to the media liaison for this kind of thing, is forcing the media's hand into having to talk to people that are phenomenal representatives of the movement, of the student encampment. It's great. I have seen so many progressive movements over the course of the past 10 years of my coverage and support to said progressive movements fall apart in the media machine. They have a very deliberate tactic in the media. They go for whoever they can who is going to speak in a way that is not very educated or come across unhinged. They try to emotionally pick apart your argument and try to get you to react in a way that's angry, right? Just so they can say, look, see, this person represents the entire movement and it's bad. So proud of these guys, man. I'm very proud of the student organizers and the fact that they just refuse to speak to the media randomly, causing them to have to go to the proper channels.
Protesters from UCLA now getting released from jail. The demonstrators greeted outside with food and cheers.
It was for a cause I believed in, and I was surrounded by my fellow students. I'm proud of being arrested tonight.
Early Thursday morning, UCLA police arrested 210 people at the camp for failure to disperse. The large encampment covered the campus's quad almost a week.
I don't see anything unlawful about it. I think we were peaceful.
Late Tuesday night, pro-Israel supporters clashed with encampment demonstrators. At least 15 people injured, some beaten.
I was clubbed two times in the head with a wooden 2x4 beam.
This UCLA student arrested Thursday morning at the encampment says he had to go to the hospital the night before with a concussion after the violent conflict with counter-protesters.
One side is being really just protective, holding a line, while the other side is coming up. And being very aggressive.
You can't define this as peaceful when you're vandalizing school buildings, you're creating a system of apartheid where you allow certain people into half the campus.
Oh, look, they're making their burger.
He said it's an apartheid that there's a student encampment protest where they're not allowing everyone into the encampment protest, only to immediately go back to the one student who is like consistently trying to enter the encampment every single fucking day. A system of apartheid. Yeah. So you do know about apartheid. Got it. what Israel is doing, not apartheid. Actually, peaceful student encampment protesting against apartheid. That's the real apartheid. Bro, let me explain something to you. If you are wondering where you've heard this argument before, it is literally the one note that every fucking reactionary has all the time. This exact same principle is white supremacy. Sorry, that's not a real problem any longer. The real white supremacy, or the real racism rather, is actually you talking about white supremacy. You're doing reverse racism to me. Oh wow, gay pride parades? Why no heterosexual pride parades? Thank you very much. I'll take my answer after the call. Reactionaries have one fucking note, a permanent perception of endless grievances, endless grievance seeking, endless perpetual victimhood seeking. The real problems are not the things that you can see, but instead the fact that you're bringing those things up as though they are problems at all, and how that hurts my feelings.
We begin this hour with the latest on the protests on college campuses over the Israel-Hamas war. At Portland State University, police clashed with demonstrators as they cleared an occupied library, echoing scenes we've seen on some other campuses. Again. Now, nationwide, more than 2,000 people have been arrested.
Oh, there's a Ben Shibibo video. It's been a while. He has been, like, kind of quiet, even on Twitter. I don't know. He's been shutting the fuck up quite a bit. I don't know what that's about, you know?
Recent weeks, Lilia Luciano has been covering these protests for
us. Exciting.
She discovered some of the strife comes not from the actions, but from the language being used on campuses.
Oh, it's not the actions that are inherently anti-Semitic or, you know, motivated by like Hamas or whatever the f- Now it's actually the rhetoric that is violent. We're just moving. We're just moving from one level to the next. It's actually the sentiments expressed that were violent inherently and anti-Semitic inherently. And you can actually have, you know, inherently anti-Semitic sentiment be expressed for sure. Like that is definitely something that could be valid. It's just if you're fucking pointing to someone saying intifada, intifada revolution, then no, that's not anti-Semitic at all. It is the Arab word for a struggle, like the Warsaw Ghetto Uprising is called the Warsaw Intifada, as Mehdi Hassan and many others have mentioned. You're just operating on the boundaries of pure Islamophobia and pure anti-Arab hatred to say it's scary. It's the exact same principle behind Fox News cutting commentary saying, if someone says Allahu Akbar, I'm terrified of that. It means God is good, dumbass. It doesn't mean anything else. Okay, I'm Turkish. The word Allah is also in my language as well. We have another separate word that is not an Arabic long word, Tanrı, but it doesn't matter. Inshallah is a word that I use as well. Inshallah, mashallah, elhamdulillah, selamun aleyküm, aleyküm selam, aleyküm esselam. These are all Arabic words that we use in the Muslim world in general. And the obvious insanity here is that the mere mention or the mere fear that you feel in your heart when you hear something that is in Arabic is a you problem. I mean, we can't really blame the average Islamophobic Westerner for being as such. It will take time to deprogram the Islamophobia rhetoric he'd been fed for years. The problem is that these people who control it push this rhetoric for ulterior motives. Yeah, I mean, the thing is, like, this is probably one of my weakest areas. Like, I can get a transphobic person to no longer hold transphobic opinions, but I can't get an Islamophobic person to no longer be Islamophobic because of my Muslim background. So this is the one area where my background does actually cook me, because it's the one area where I objectively don't maintain that same level of privilege that others do. Even if I said personally, like, oh, I'm not Muslim, Islam, blah, 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 it would still not work, because people will still, that's how bigotry works. People still go, well, you're from a Muslim country, your name is Hassan, I don't really know. That's why, yeah, it seems like I have a personal interest in the matter. Exactly. Does that mean that as a trans person, it's more difficult for me to make people less transphobic than a cis person? Yes, but it doesn't mean that you shouldn't try. Obviously, you should. And the best cure for that is just to be a fucking chill person that people love being around. Does that make sense? Because so many people beyond my advocacy, so many people in the real world that have never even fucking heard about me will sometimes become friends with a trans person and maybe won't even know that they're trans, or will know that they're trans ahead of time and you know, become friends with them. And then ultimately they'll be like, yeah, I guess these are people after all. No, literally, it sounds ridiculous when I say it out loud like this, but a lot of the hatred that and the resentment and the animosity that people have is due to segregation. And I don't mean segregation in like the legal segregation that people fought in the civil rights era. I'm talking like being alienated from an individual of this community makes you infinitely more likely to see like the worst aspects or the stereotyping that is constantly being pummeled in their fucking heads all the goddamn time. That's why I also always repeat, like, be normal to everyone, both individuals from marginalized backgrounds and those who are encountering individuals from marginalized backgrounds. Like, don't change your behavior around different people. In many instances, that's precisely the reason why I try to tell chatters, like, when I'm talking about a specific issue and, like, a trans chatter will get mad at me or something, and I'll be like, this isn't for you. You know what I mean? I wish to live in a world where people, even racist people, would take black people seriously. It's just that not the world that we live in, right? If you're transphobic, you're less likely to listen to a trans person and listen to what they have to say. Much harder hurdle to clear.
But that if the rhetoric deliberately or inadvertently endorses the messaging of Hamas, possible solutions will be ignored.
Zero-sum approaches that I think...
Yeah, dude, it's so funny because, like, those who fucking dick ride Israel into oblivion are actually so incredibly understanding. They so incredibly understandingly came to the Palestinian encampment with fireworks and bear mace, for example, you know? Yeah, we should actually do some more language policing. Here's the acceptable boundaries in which you can protest, not like that. Here's the only acceptable ways that you can communicate your desires, not like that. And if you ask politely, maybe the genocide will end. It seems like the Palestinians never thought about asking politely. I think that was the issue.
But Mr. Al-Khatib talks about that word intifada, which for many Jewish people, many Israelis, is one of horror. He actually says to you,
bro, intifada. Bro, this is literally like having a black dude on to be like, yeah, Black Lives Matter is actually terrifying rhetoric for white people and is totally justifiable, and they should say All Lives Matter instead. The fuck do you mean? I mean, I guess Fox News does that kind of commentary, but there's no other social issue where you literally look at a group of victims and a group of perpetrators and go, let's hear honestly what the group of perpetrators' perspective is on the messaging, on the emancipatory sloganeering coming from the victims and those who are on the side of the victims.
Is bloodshed, and I think that's important for people to know if they casually use language that they don't have any context around, and I like that he explained that.
And I've also heard from a Columbia professor who is a Jewish professor who tells me this just means revolution. The students are just calling for, you know, rebelling against what's happening in Gaza. So language, yeah, very important to always understand the intention.
It can be somewhat counterproductive to what that's the intended what he protest
says.
Is for.
That's what he's saying.
You just wish that the protesters were thoughtful enough to think about that, but I think they're so focused right now on their points that there's the divide.
And there's
there's the divide.
Then why do you
we're talking about the anti-Semitism awareness bill. Let's take a look.
Why do you call for an intifada? Do you know what the intifada means? What's the definition of an intifada? I'm asking you. Can you answer this simple question? No, you cannot, because you don't understand the definition. An intifada is an armed resistance. You chant, globalize the intifada. You're calling for the mass genocide of Jews. That is what you're doing.
Bro, there's a reason why the Holocaust in Arabic is not called the Intifada, but the Warsaw Ghetto Uprising is called the Warsaw Intifada. It is insane to me that this is a real conversation at all. This dude rears his ugly head everywhere. It's crazy. This is the one guy they have. NYPD outside WSP, where the march landed on a community Shabbat, said there's an agitator and flooded in and pulled out Rabbi Shmuley instigating. He claimed he was attacked for wearing a yarmulke. NYPD Baudet, it's not about the yarmulke. There's like 100 Jews in there.
Wait a second. No. I'm not going to show them I'm afraid. I'm sorry. We can do it here.
I'm not afraid of that.
Sir, there's 2.5 million Jews who live in New York, and they're being harassed like this, and they can't walk the streets, and I'm not going to be one of them. I'm sorry. Well, I don't have to go across the street to make a report. I don't know why you guys are there and not making sure that Jews are... I can wear a yarmulke without fear. I don't live in Nazi Germany, with all due respect. I love the NYPD. You guys are our heroes. But with all due respect, this has gotten ridiculous. This has gotten ridiculous. Their hatred of the police, their hatred of America.
Once again, I stand vindicated on my original assessment that Rabbi Shmuley hurts the Zionist cause by just simply being so annoying that even people who would easily beat the shit out of, like, pro-Palestinian protesters are like, bro, shut the fuck up. It is so awesome.
I can wear a yarmulke without being attacked.
It's not that. Listen,
there's
over 100 Jewish people.
Oh, dude. This is like a Roman gladiator looking an Italian cop telling the dudes in the Chabad house that, like, you can't be building tunnels over here. All right. You can't do that. He's like, dude, there's 100 Jews in there. That's what he said. He walked up to him and he went, it's not about the yarmulke. There's like 100 Jews in there. Oh, it's so funny. he's negatively polarizing some of the most reactionary cops into being like, dude, shut the fuck up. He said, it's not about the yarmulke. There's like 100 Jews in there.
I can wear a yarmulke without being attacked.
It's not that. Listen,
really? It's not the yarmulke?
He's shocked. He's like, what do you mean it's not about the yarmulke? Excuse me, sir.
You know, come on, officer, you know what? The NYPD are smart people. We're not that naive. None of us are that naive. You know what this is. I'm trying to make this is anti-Semitism.
He's trying to debate the cop. Oh, my God. Oh, that's so perfect.
This is the hatred of American
people. Look how many yarmulkes are here. How many yarmulkes?
Is he actually a rabbi? Yes, he is. I thought he wasn't. I thought he was a fake rabbi. Turns out he is a real rabbi. This is another fun moment. Someone in St. Louis drove into a crowd of pro-Palestine protesters, but that wasn't enough. They also got out and started swinging and almost got their ass beat. Why did he think he could do something here? I just don't understand why someone would do that. As I was walking up to PSU in Portland, Oregon, a car turned down an alley in front of me where the crowd of protesters were standing. On the dash was a can of bear mace and the license plate holder read, "We the People." This wasn't an accident. The driver accelerated towards protesters and police before exiting with a can of mace and fleeing the car and spraying people on the way out. I think in that circumstance, like, everyone should be allowed, including the cops, to just, like, beat the shit out of this beautiful Toyota. Like, it's the rage cage, you know what I mean?
Hey, get away from the car! Car! Car!
I can't believe people would do this, and no way any Twitch streamer would tell people to do it, right? Well, there was a former Twitch streamer who did tell people to do this for the BLM protesters.
The rioting needs to stop. And if that means, like, white redneck fucking militia dudes out there mowing down protesters that think that they could torch buildings at 10 p.m., then at this point they have my blessing, because holy shit, this needs to stop. It needed to stop a long time ago. Like, holy shit.
I'm sure he would probably have a similar opinion on the pro-Palestinian protesters as well. I mean, I don't know. I haven't heard his reasoned commentary on American protests, but... The aftermath? Oh, they did destroy it. Oh, hell yeah. Oh, that's so sick. I mean, it does hurt my feelings to see a Toyota like this. As a lover of Toyotas, I do hate to see it. But also, you know, definitely deserved. He posted an Insta story. This isn't a joke. This is the guy, good Lord. No fucking way, son. Oh yeah, that is a pedestrian walkway on campus. If you couldn't figure out by the, you can kind of see it when a camera flips around. You probably can tell by the fact that it's like blocked off. I hope he serves a lengthy prison sentence because that is an act of terrorism, an act of domestic terror. I don't know if you guys know this, but this is exactly what happened in Charlottesville. Breaking: it seems the guy who drove the car towards Portland State protesters intentionally went there to confront protesters. He was on Instagram saying he was heading to PSU. You can see a baton on his deck. You will later see a protester holding the same baton. He had pepper spray and sprayed multiple protesters. He drove towards them. They were not on the street. The alleyway had pots blocking the entrance. His plate is not a real plate. It says "We the People." This is proof that this confrontation was not accidental. He posted on Insta tagging PSU Vanguard, which are student journalists covering the protests. He's literally holding a vape in his hand too. Innocent Camrys get killed every day. Law-abiding degenerate. 10 toes down. No discussion. Dude, he's so sick. Lean belly. The beer belly goes hard. I saw the extra small trousers in your trunk, FYI. Why are you running protests over with your car? I love the kind of white people that simultaneously are culture vultures towards black culture while also themselves being white supremacists. Bro, you just came for the entirety of Naperville and it's kind of up. Bit weaker than your morals. Why does a hype beast care about Palestine? I think he's just in it for the love of the game, which is to can kill people. React to Ole Miss, mate? Sure, send me the Ole Miss videos of the frat bros coming to the counter protests with like in the thousands and then making monkey noises at the black pro-Palestinian protesters. That's nice, man. Thanks. A lot of these frat boys that warmed Governor Tate Reeves' heart by singing the national anthem as a rebuke to anti-genocide protests also chanted Lizzo, Lizzo, Lizzo at the same black woman that hurled obscenities at her.
Lizzo, 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 and hurled Lizzo, 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 Lizzo. You better you F you, bitch.
We were gonna go to the pool, then we heard this was gonna happen, so we're like, that we're gonna come over here and counter protest, said Trevor Leahy, a 21-year-old business major, of course, who said he came out with his frat brothers, though he couldn't say which one. Though the pro-Palestinian students have had a right to free speech, Leahy added, he thought they were taking it too far. I don't care that much. I just don't want them to encamp on my school, Leahy said. It looks ugly. I'm paying for them to be here. Near tears, a student named Jana, whose family's from Palestine, thanked the group. Hey guys, I know that what just happened was really intimidating and it was a little scary, but I just want to say I'm so proud of you guys, she said. This wasn't going to happen in Oxford without all of you guys. Palestine was being hurt, and I just want to thank you guys so much. I know that was such a big risk, but this is the most that people have ever fought for us, so don't give up. I know that was really hard, but we really need to keep fighting. This was just the start of it, okay? Jana grew up in South Haven, but her dad was born in a refugee camp in Jericho in the Palestinian West Bank. She said that her family still knows people in Gaza. I was in the room. She was really nice. That guy has a I hate terrorists shirt. What the second pic on this Instagram post has the I hate terrorists guy. Oh my God. These are the dudes screaming soy boy in my Instagram comment section. You know what I mean?